We won't be having any more meetings before election day.
Football first to Thanksgiving. I don't show my true colors to Kate games, so maybe when I'm watching Florida State.
Warm, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, I'm gonna take notes. I forgot about that. Schedule a meeting on Labor Day weekend if you don't want people from the public to show up. That was my real purpose.
Do you,
those are two columns that I really want to focus on because that's a.
This doesn't matter.
Apples. Yeah, it's the.
But I'm wondering, is there any seasonality when we looked at how we spread the budget on the transfer tax? Like, I assume there's very little sales that happen June, July, just because people are living in it.
Yeah, but I don't think you spread it.
I don't know.
Pretty sure on the revenue they didn't spread it very much.
Yeah, I don't want to be overly concerned.
Yeah. But. Well, as we knew, the economy is not booming at the moment. Okay, 3:30.
Hold on. Okay, you got water.
I've been admonished to hold on. Okay. Okay, it's 3:31, and I hereby call the Budget and Finance Committee meeting to order. Let's start with a Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you very much.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming. We have a quorum today. Nancy McCluskey, Lynn Winkler, Phil Winkler, Bill Stevens, Joe Kinley, and myself. I knew that Zeke would not be able to attend this one. So, let's start with the agenda. Is everyone okay with the agenda? There's really only two items to review, the budget performance, and then secondarily to talk about the new revenue streams. Any comments or adjustments to the agenda? Okay, can I have a
motion? Move to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, agenda is adopted. Second quick order of business, the draft minutes from our June 28th meeting. Recap, anyone have any comments or suggestions about those?
Yes, we were going to make changes. I didn't see the changes.
Yes, you know what? I forgot to do that. That's right. But I do have your notes on that, so I will update that accordingly. With Nancy's comments added, can we motion to accept the meetings as written with the amendments?
So move.
Aye.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Sorry about that, Nancy. You sent it to me early enough that it slipped my mind the day before. So we will get those comments added. Okay, on to the real business at hand here. We have now 4 reported months of the fiscal year with the reports that Scott and Sheena have provided us. I think we should focus on the landscape version of the format so that we can compare the year-to-date with the year-to-date budget. I think that's the best way to go about this. So, Scott, would you like to provide some commentary about both the revenue and the expense side for us, please? Maybe I have no budget.
Yes, so I'm more than happy to provide some comment about the landscaped financial summary. So if we start on the left-hand side, for the month of July was a positive revenue month. We had total income in July of $403,251 and total expenses of $383,530 for a positive income of $19,721. If you go to the middle column, right now, year to date, so 4 months through the end of July, we are running a negative net income of $129,735.
Am I seeing the wrong numbers? Because I... Oh, you're down at the bottom.
All the way at the bottom.
Okay, got it. Yep.
So if you carried that number and you said we were making all the set-aside transfers that we were talking about having to make, through the first 4 months, we were a net loss of $185,665. However, because we're in a negative revenue situation, we haven't made those transfers. Those transfers are pending. And once we get to a positive revenue situation, the expectation is we'll make those transfers. As far as revenue is concerned, talk about revenue kind of in the global picture. Transfer tax through the first 4 months, I want to say, was down about 10% or so.
Over
a five-year average.
Okay.
And if you drive around town and you look, there seems to be a number of pending sales. We know there's a number of pending sales related to the completion of the Hyatt and stuff. And so right now, while we're tracking behind, my expectation is, I think over the next few months, probably by December, we'll be closer to target or on target for those. Accommodations tax, we're still early. I think the first big revenue month is October for that, so we'll know more about accommodations tax after the closing of the October period. Business licenses, if I recall correctly, are slightly down. Parking permits, the seasonal parking permits, we hit our revenue projection. It looks to me like we will hit our revenue projections on parking meters and daily parking passes. So from the total roll-up of parking, my expectation is we're going to meet or exceed those numbers as we get the close out of the August numbers as well as the September numbers. Building permits, we were right about plus or I think we're down about 1% year over year. The building permit is something that's been a concern. We do have several pending permits for new homes that are being reviewed right now. So while I don't believe all of August is going to be that strong of a month, I think September is going to be a strong month for that. But it is one of those revenue streams that we've been watching closely. As far as fines and stuff, we'll know more about fines where they're at through the end of August, but they were running slightly low. The DBE income on this page is a little bit high because we received 2 months of income in the month of July. That should level out after the month of August and be right on target. Other revenue, this is kind of the roll-up of other things that we expect to get. I think we got 2 payments for the concessions contract in July, so it skews it a little bit. Rather than getting 4 monthly payments, we got 2 in July and we got 2 in August. From a revenue standpoint, as I said, probably the biggest areas of concern right now are transfer tax. We're not sure exactly where we're at with accommodations tax, and building permits seem to be right about where we were expecting them. On the expense side, if you kind of look at the overall year-to-date expenses, under town administrative expenses, we're running slightly high. If I recall correctly, I think that's related to some legal payments that we've made for attorneys related to some lawsuits that are skewing that number slightly. And then under town administrative expenses, we're running slightly high at 108%, it looks like. And that has to do with several different things that are, I think it's more timing rather than being over budget. But we hope that those will smooth out with the August numbers. Under police, if you look at the total police budget, we're running at 98%. Slightly over on employee expenses, but the total police budget is slightly under at 98%. Same with maintenance, is slightly under. Code enforcement in total is slightly under. Building inspector is slightly under. Our Ottoman court, the numbers are a little bit skewed because we changed how they're paid. They used to be paid levelized, a fixed amount per month. And we've gone back and they're being paid hourly based on the number of hours that they put in. So summer in season is significantly higher than out of season. So that, I believe, is what's causing the skew there. And then lifeguard is running slightly above budget at 102%. So in total, through July, this was running at about 102%. I'm hoping that this is going to come down. We're right on target at the end of August. But we'll know those numbers here in the next few weeks. Do you have any questions that I can answer?
Anyone?
You're over in police employee expenses. You're on during the season, so they just look like they're swapping budgets.
Yeah, some of that is the police employee expenses. We've got some overtime expenses related to the extra duty on the weekends. And both our seasonal police, some of those positions, I think we had 16, I remember if it was 16 or 13 originally. Some of those through August, we've had people starting to go back to school, so those numbers are coming down. I'm not sure if they were fully staffed all of July or not. I have to go back and look. But I think you're right. It's kind of a wash between the two. And I know as far as lifeguards, our lifeguards have started going back to school and going back to their jobs. So as we've gone through August, we probably have a few more overtime hours, less total hours, but a few more overtime hours. And then as we get into September, the beaches are fully guarded through this weekend, the end of the holiday weekend. And then through the end of September, they're guarded on Saturdays and Sundays. And then we had made a decision earlier this year, I believe, to not guard at all in the month of October. So we have lifeguard expenses that will still be showing up on both the August and September reports. And then the seasonal lifeguard expenses go away after that point.
The two things that obviously stand out for the transfer tax and the building permits, is there any way that you can provide us a little bit more of a written analysis of how you see this coming back into a balanced situation?
Yeah, I think we can. I have not created the notes that I've been creating last year. I was hoping to get all the way through the audit and see where we start with some of the other information. But as we get beyond the summer and into the fall, the notes are going to have to start showing up to explain any deficiencies or overages or unders. I think right now most of the stuff is leveled out. Now, when we get through August, I still have to do the notes to confirm all that.
Okay. Yeah, but being only at $104,000 in transfer tax with an annual budget of $630,000, looks like we're going to need to keep a close eye on that. What's your plan for revisiting the budget should this continue to be drastically low?
So I think once the audit is complete, once we're through probably the September numbers, if we have to revisit the budget, we would be going to the commissioners in either October or November to revisit the budget at that point. It may be as late, I guess it should be probably as late as November, because we'll get the accommodations tax receipts in the month of October.
And that'll be a full 6 months. Not that it's completely balanced, but that sounds like a reasonable approach.
Yeah, like I said, right now, the stuff that we see, the concerns are really related to transfer tax and whether we'll meet our building permit targets. The other things, it's been a busy summer in Dewey Beach from a parking standpoint. I don't have, 15 years of history to say that parking translates to accommodations tax, but there's been a lot of people in Dewey Beach this summer from what I see. And so the expectation I have is that we'll be on target with our accommodations tax.
No, that's more predictable than the building permits and the transfer.
When you do your notes on the transfer tax, what do you do?
We will go back. So we'll look and see. We pull the information from the county to tell us how many transfers have happened. The last couple months, I think July and even some of August, have been slow. I mean, it's not been where we were hoping that they would be. But nothing is, there's still properties that are for sale, and there's still signs. If you drive around, you'll see surveys that have been conducted, so there's pending transfers, or we just haven't been paid on something.
Yeah, because we need to look at this. It's not hard to do. It's the show versus last year. You have the same number of resales.
Yep.
It could be possibly that they're just at a lower value that they're turning this year.
Yeah, last year.
A lot of high value in the homes turned last year.
Last year, I think there was. Yeah, there was at least one hotel that transferred last year, and that skewed. That was
right,
later.
And we adjusted the budget.
It really
for that.
Skewed the number a little bit. But we'll have some more information when we come back with the analysis.
Joe, we're going to need you to close the sale in this fiscal year. Got it?
I'll be happy to do that.
Okay. Any other questions for Scott?
Good job.
Good. Thank you. From the audience.
From the audience.
Commissioner. Hello, Gary. How are you?
This is for Scott.
What's your name? What age?
Paul Bauer, 153.
That's his weight age.
That's my age, yeah. So as far as normally the fall and October, November, we have a track record of how many closings we get, right?
Yes.
And what's transfer tax normally in those months?
I don't know off the top of my head, so I'll have to go back and...
Well, I assume, not that we need to do this, but if you're concerned, I assume anyone in the real estate business would have a list of houses in Dewey Beach that have closed since April 1st, and we could track that and their amount and recalculate out.
You get it in the mail, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any further questions on the financial budget performance? I don't think we need to go through the details of the profit and loss and such. But if anyone in reviewing this has any further questions, please forward them to me, and I will request Scott and Sheena look into it. Very good. Yes, Gary.
Gary Person here at Dickinson Street in Dewey Beach. This is really directed at Scott, too. I think part of the unknown that we have is we don't really know exactly what our resources are left over from last year, so that depends on the audit.
Yes.
I apologize for being late, maybe advanced with this already. What's the schedule for completing the audit?
So there was an administrative meeting with the auditor to talk about all the questions that they had. There's been a large amount of information that's transferred. I believe the auditor has met with the audit chairman maybe, and the commissioner liaison a week or so ago. We have another meeting scheduled. They're coming in next week to do what I would call testing on they gave us a list of building permits they want to see. They've asked for some additional documentation. The draft management letter, I think, is supposed to be provided shortly so I can fill in numbers from my side. And then the expectation is, I would say, in the next week or so, they're wrapping up their stuff, and then they will give us the final schedule on when they'll present documents. The schedule that I have on my wall, they were supposed to have me a letter today. They may still have it by 5, but there's one more visit that they're making to the offices to do the final testing of the documentation. once we agree on final, like, once we finish the audit, they've confirmed the numbers are correct and stuff, then we can come back and talk about budget modifications, because the commissioners have authorized some things that have changed in the budget since we adopted the budget, and there are some corrections that we're going to have to make as we go forward. So that will happen over the next couple of months.
A little later than usual for completion of the audit, about a month behind where we typically are?
Yeah, I think in the past, we've been done by August 15th. Mm-hmm. I think we're about a 30-day window this time. Mm-hmm. And it's really, it's all related to the transition of the new auditor.
Right.
The next year's schedule, they'll have all the baseline work. They have been working very quickly, and like I said, there's three members of the audit firm that we have been working with regularly. There's a partner and then two associates. And we've tried to get back to them as quickly as possible when they've asked us questions. And then I expect that the visit that we have on Thursday is the last of the field work that's necessary for them to finalize their numbers.
All right, let's move to the second agenda item, review and discuss possible new revenue streams for the town. As you probably heard in me on my soapbox in the various meetings in the last several months, it's important, I think it's extremely important that we find new and significant revenue sources for the town, and we not wait any longer to begin work in earnest on developing these revenue streams. Even though we may be years away from a major sea level rise event, we have to be prepared, and with the tens of millions of dollars that it's going to cost the town to respond to that, no time like the present to begin. So this should be a fairly familiar document. We've seen it a couple of times, each time just slight revisions. The first item there is the residential revenue, or you could say accommodations tax and license collections. As we had discussed previously, and I think Scott had said, once the season's over, we will have the resources to dedicate to looking further into this and trying to get our arms around the issue of those who are not paying for their rentals, first identifying them. And I know that we had a bit of a fit and start with finding a source of information for this, and Scott, unless you have something that you really want to talk about, why don't we just say that when the season is over, we'll begin work on that effort.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep. We all know that there may be some significant revenue out there. It's not going to keep the town solvent in the later days, but it certainly will help, and it's fair game to go after that revenue. We also had
a question.
Yep.
Real quick. What is the penalty for not reporting the revenue as a resident?
Is there a $500 fine or something?
Yeah.
For not filing or not reporting?
Either.
So it's really done on an honor system basis. If somebody gets a rental license and they rent four times in the summer, they submit their tax, then we have the receipt record. I don't know how, we don't have a way right now to say they rented six versus four times. It's completely, and we don't require any certification from their owner or their CPA or even from them. Mm-hmm. They just submit their receipt. So it is very much the honor system. I think you could find them if you have a way of saying, we know, we have records somehow that this number is not correct. If you had a long track history of somebody who had been submitting $20,000 for the last 5 years, and this year they only submitted $2,000, and it appears to change, I think you have an administrative record that you can go back and say, over the last 5 years, you've submitted this amount, what is the reason for the change? And you could probably ask for additional documentation.
Do we have a ledger by state, or I'm sorry, by year, for those that have submitted?
I believe so. I think it's entered into the system by property, and you can pull the system.
Okay.
So, Scott, I know that I go through a realtor, and they have to file a 1099, and I have to put it on my taxes, so it's all legit.
Yeah.
If you separated the ones that most of the rentals are hand and locked up by the
realtors,
and then just focus on anybody else, eliminate those properties from the analysis and just focus on what's missing.
Right, there are some that are, as you were saying, they're either done through a realtor or they're done through a professional property manager. Those are not the ones that would
worry about those.
Necessarily a concern. But as far as I know, we don't have them classified right now, and we don't, as far as I know, require that they use a property management company or anything like that. So it's coded that you have to.
No.
It actually has a code. There's really three things here, right? I mean, there's sign it up and getting your thing in the springtime, which I don't know.
Rental license.
And then in the fall, you go back and look at how many weeks you rented it in, turn it in. And there's a couple places there where it gets a little, how many bedrooms you have, and you know, I mean, some of these places have 6, 7, 8 bedrooms, and they say 3. I'm not really worried. I think what we ought to do is get to a point where we think we got most of the people, and then we could go back, and once we get that base, go back and start, you know, fine-tuning that. As long as somebody's reporting something, you miss some money. Good. I mean, I'll take that for a starter. But the people that aren't paying anything, I think that just irritates a lot of other folks.
Sure. Well, two quick items. One, Scott, I would suggest, and I'm sure you would do this anyway, when you have the time to dedicate the staff and resources to begin work on this, put together some kind of game plan about how you're going to go at it, find the different pockets, and then also, you know, provide that to whoever is, you know, dealing with these kind of issues at the time, certainly to council. Second is the issue you brought up in the articles that you forwarded by email on the Airbnb situation. Do you want to give us a minute synopsis on that?
I was just going through, I think I started with the Seaford thing, and I looked at that, and I looked at the sports complex thing up here in Milford, where they're putting through 3%, and they're going to divert that, right, to the sport thing, which I thought was kind of weird. And then the Airbnb people are pushing back, and I think more in the big cities, I'm not sure so much in the resorts, and they're saying, well, you know, they're going to start checking whether somebody buys a new refrigerator and plumbs it in and then didn't have a contract, and there's this, you know, you start going down a slippery slope. I'm not an expert on it, so I don't know where that's going to go, but there's some issues there about how far you can push. That one article was on the gentleman had the company that goes out, and I don't know whether that was the same one, Scott, that we had had an example of trying it out or not, but apparently there's several people out there that can do that, and maybe that would be another part of it, right? Was that the same company by any chance?
Yeah, the company Host Compliance is the one that I've been looking at their analytics, and they're supposed to, they've done two runs for me. Neither one of them matched what we have as our manifest in the sense that they were below. They said we had fewer rentals than we believe we have, and we have registered. So I'd asked them to run one more analytic, but it's the same company. So what is interesting is if you've read the articles, Airbnb, some of them have a voluntary taxation agreement with Airbnb. And it appears, kind of oversimplify it, Airbnb did that when it was in their best interest, so that they, and again, some of it may be related to state laws that are not Delaware laws. Airbnb entered into these agreements so that they didn't have to do things, or that it shut off things that they may be required to do under a regulatory environment. But the communities that signed these voluntary agreements seemed to be happy with them. They went through legal review. It was guaranteeing that they would get the revenue from it, and there was mutual agreement on both sides. The one thing I would caution is that Airbnb is only one of the platforms. The host compliance people say that there are 150 platforms out there that are doing this short-term rental stuff. And so just having Airbnb, an agreement with Airbnb, doesn't solve the problem necessarily. So it's and I think it's elusive I did find it strange that some people are not in favor of the agreements because of various things that may be regulatory at the state level.
One more question. The other thing is, it didn't match up to one of the sample run we made, or two samples. There are, I mean, if they're only looking at Airbnb, there are people that use, obviously, other right. things. There are people that don't use anything. They're just self-rentals.
Right. So
we'd never catch that.
Yeah. Post-compliance's analytics are looking at 150 different platforms. They're looking at all the known platforms that are out there. And so when I first met with them last August, the platforms that are out there last August versus now are different, so they're always having to change their analytics and their captures on these things. But in both cases, like I said, I don't know the exact number, but we have at least 700 rental permits that go through the town. Last year, when they did it in the fall, it was like 480 they came up with. That they could find being advertised. And then in the spring, it wasn't much different than that. I think it was even a little bit lower. So they haven't come back with a capture that says, you know, if they come back with a capture that says we have 900 or 1,000 and I only have 700 permits, then it's probably worth continuing discussion with them. If they don't come back with a capture that gets to above the 700, then what that tells me is that we have a number of people that are honestly getting the permit, and that's what they're finding as they serve.
I guess, again, the point is, and I'm a sample of one, it's me, I rent, you know, a couple, I don't rent a lot, but I rent some.
Right.
I don't use anybody, their right. friends, whatever.
So those analytics are not captured.
Exactly. Yeah. So could we, on that form, would it be reasonable to have a line there and say, you know, I use whatever,
right?
You know, Airbnb.
There's probably an 80-20 rule here between VRBO, HomeAway, and Airbnb, and maybe Craigslist. In that order, you're probably going to get 95% of the rentals that aren't happening personally, person to person. So if we were to cover those, I think we'd be closing most of the gaps in the process.
Okay. Well, I was just going back to where, you know, they were saying the numbers weren't lined up. If you had another 150 people that said, you know,
Well, let's give Scott a chance to put together a process manual for this.
One question before you leave the witness stand. You said that there were 700 permits this year. How does that compare to last year?
I don't know.
It's usually pretty close.
I want to say, if anything, I think that the Hyatt construction is probably offsetting or close to offsetting the number of people that have just moved here or are not renting. So my expectation is the number is relatively flat. That's just my feeling, because we're right about the target number of our accommodation stacks. I'd have to go back and pull the data to prove that, but I think the number is relatively
okay.
There's not been a large decrease or a large increase.
It's usually in the low 700s year to year.
Do we have to let him talk?
Yeah, I didn't call him.
Did anybody
call him? I'm Reddick for 104 Houston Street. Some of the things we do right are what you're seeing in the process that you're doing. And when you become part of the program, every year you get a letter that reminds you to sign up. And again, you show your patriotism to the town of Dewey Beach and be good stewards and fill out your forms. And then you'll get another reminder that it's that time of year again to send in your accommodations tax for the money you earned this year of the 700. And that what happens is you send that form out, the good owners of our town fill the form out and send it back in. Gary and I debated this many times before over the what's the difference? How between 700 and how many are we missing? And there's other beach towns all across the country do it many different ways. But one of the things that I think we could do this year, perhaps over this winter, is create a map that shows where those properties are that are rented somehow. It's difficult because I'll use a property like the Hyatt is a great example. I was going to use a different one. But we can't see inside that building from outside. Hmm. So to put a dot on a map makes it a little more difficult. The next level of this would be for our police department, our code enforcement, for our building officials to all have access to this map readily available to them so that when they see a problem house, They can also look at the map and see if it's got a dot on it that lets them know that it is a rental property. It's also used as a rental property. So there's some continuity through the process. Also, it allows them an opportunity to knock on the door and say, hey, are the Smiths here? Mm-hmm. So there's the build the map, and then to, I think before we were talking about how do you enforce the rule, mm-hmm. and an honor system role. And that's by being really good at what we can do well, and then writing to those owners that we think perhaps are renting and saying, hey, it looks like you might be renting. I don't know if you're aware that there's a $500 fine if you are renting and you haven't filled out your license application. Once they're in the system, once they say, oh, you're right, we do rent, as long as you do this right and you do it well, I think you bring them in the system. Now, the great debate that Gary and I have had in the past is it 500 people or is it 200? I think he's right and I was wrong. I think it's a lot smaller number than I thought originally. Mm-hmm. And because more importantly, I think a lot of people now, their investments are so large that when they let people use their house, it's because it's my dentist or my whatever, you know, there's no money changing hands. So I think we could probably pick up a few by being thoughtful, by building a map, by having a boilerplate letter that goes out to those properties that we think are rentals, mm-hmm. and cautioning them about the fines, and this number could rise a little bit. And the best part about building this map and having systems like this is once they're in the system, they get the reminder letter every year that, hey, remember, be a good steward. Right. We're doing everything we can to keep this at 3%, right. Instead of jumping up to all the people that participate in the program.
Let's assume that Scott will do a good job at putting together a process that will capture as many as possible.
Sure,
we all have a certain passion for this, but thank you for your comment.
The only other comment I'd like to add, and TJ, it's a great point, is that as we started this process, Dave, you basically said we've got to look out towards the future and be prepared. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen in the 10 years that I've been here is there are less and less rentals and more residents. And from Reed Street to, and Phil and I have talked about, from Reed Street to McKinley, especially where I am in Bayside Court, where there used to be several rentals, there were only 2.5 this year. So it's changing. So we got to find other revenue sources.
No doubt. So any other commentary on the residential revenue / accommodations tax collections? Gary? You have a question?
No.
Okay. While we're doing this, let's look at the target dates. We set a target date of 9/19. Why don't we say, you know, that's close enough for government work. Scott could begin in October rather than September, right after the season is over. But I think, you know, we all agree that getting something going by the first of the year and putting something in place for next year's rentals should be a goal. Okay. Evaluate and adjust set-asides. We've had several discussions on this, and I think we generally agreed that we should review these each year for necessity and reasonability, right? Do we still need to put 3% of, you know, transfer tax or building permits away into infrastructure? Probably more. So that will happen naturally in the course of business, and Scott has committed to doing that process as well. Again, that should be something done in the fall season in preparation for the following budget year. Revisit hotel accommodations tax. I have recently became aware that Rehoboth has moved forward with theirs, and that theirs has moved rather swiftly once it got some momentum behind it. And so I think now is the time for us to begin the process to, you know, first tee up the charter change that's necessary to release that possibility, and then start opening up that process. It would be foolish, I think, to assume that could be done before next year's season begins. So I put it out there for the beginning of the season for the following year, because I think there's too many things in public workshops and meetings that will need to be held and hearings. So I think that that's a reasonable time frame. But that's, you know, and we can haggle over whether it should start at 1 and have the ability to grow to 3 or be greater than that. We all, I think, have agreed that the ceiling is going to be 3% for what we've talked about, at least so far.
Seaford has this in place, right?
I think it's Seaford and now Rehoboth, right?
And now the sports complex guy. Right. He's going, and I don't know what jurisdiction that is. Is that Milford? Is that sport?
Yeah.
It's Kent County.
So they don't have a charter. It's just Kent County.
So I believe that the legislature passed legislation for Kent County, Delaware, for all hotels that are in Kent County to have the 3% tax, and that tax, I think, is earmarked for the sports complex.
Right.
But didn't Sussex also do it?
I don't think it affects
Sussex. I thought it affected the hotels out here that are in the unincorporated.
So that was the one for Sussex County is separate. That was an accommodations tax that's being set aside for...
the one for the county?
Yeah.
The 3% is for... It sounds like it all comes to coastal things, but there's much more to it. They're going to create about $1 million extra dollars a year for the county that's supposed to go back to flooding, beach replenishment, resort stuff, but it's so innocuous, the names of these different titles. We just came from, I shouldn't be doing this here.
Right. So they did a 3% accommodations tax for the unincorporated hotels that is going to raise approximately $1 million. And the county has a menu of items that those things can be spent on, but they're not reserved for any one part of the county. It is by vote on where it's spent and how much is spent in each of those qualifying categories throughout Sussex County. But the expectation is it's going to raise about $1 million a year.
So
is Sussex ex incorporated areas?
Unincorporated.
Tax is actually on the unincorporated areas.
Yes.
But the revenues can be used anywhere in the county.
Is there an application grant process?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't think that's been developed yet. I think that information is pending.
Here, let me read that part. ACT is the Association of Coastal Towns. It was formed many years ago and fell apart in 2006 and was restarted recently. And the town has been involved in a big part of the ACT program, Association of Coastal Towns, all 7 beach towns. In that program, we've learned a lot about what the county's doing, and they keep showing up at our meetings because they have a lot of money in the county level. This $1 million extra that they're going to earn from this accommodations tax, the only way that the state level would approve it is if they had those targeted areas outlined for them to feel good about the revenue that they're generating. ACT, as these 7 towns, is building lobbying efforts and coalitions throughout the coastal community so that we can direct where that money goes, because it's really important that we help them understand how much we add to the county and to the state as far as revenue goes. I don't want to go into the weeds too far, but $7 billion in revenue, we're the number 2 industry in the state of Delaware. Chicken's number 1, but agriculture, not really chicken. But all resorts in the state of Delaware or vacation destinations are the rest of it. And so it's an important part of the formula. And Dewey Beach is so small, it's hard for us to do it on our own. We have to belong to a group like this ACT organization so that we can lobby to make sure they keep this money coming back to the resort communities. 7 coastal towns, I saw you counting on your fingers. Fenwick Island, South Bethany, Bethany Beach, Dewey Beach, Rehoboth, Hanlopen Acres, and Lewis. Those are the towns that are represented.
Hanlopen Acres, okay.
Anyway,
I was wrong, Mr. Bill. Just one quick point.
Thanks, DJ.
The notion of the hotel accommodations tax not only would be a potentially very significant revenue source for the town, but it's probably going to be a somewhat more stable and predictable revenue source year over year. Mm-hmm. Unlike transfer tax and building permits, which, as we know, are volatile, this, like we've seen accommodations tax grow for the residential rentals, this could be a significant and consistent pot of money, which is part of our long-term objective.
Question for the commissioners. I know that part of the, not the delay, but why we wanted to get some of the other charter revisions through the House. Has that happened? Have we submitted the charter revisions yet? No?
Somebody give us an update on the charter amendments.
I'm Scott. I know I signed it.
You signed it?
I think so. Is that what's on?
I don't know. So I know that the commissioners have finished their charter work and sent it to the attorney to put in a format that it can go to the state.
That's correct.
And I believe, if I recall correctly, the expectation is that the charter amendments are proposed in the fall and then they're acted upon early in the session the following year. So we're on track, to my knowledge, to submit our proposed charter revisions this fall. And then hopefully they would be acted upon either late fall or early the first session in 2020.
So is it safe to say, if that's the calendar, Scott, that 2021 might be not attainable? Because we're not going to submit a change until next fall and then get approved in March of 2021 and then roll into the next season. I'm just asking your opinion on that.
So the changes related to the accommodations tax that have been submitted lately have been independent and very quick. So I would not, at the moment, rule out that we could submit a request either this fall or with the comprehensive one. Because I think the one, for example, for Rehoboth was submitted on a very short time cycle and was approved very expediently.
Well, I think a precedence has been set, and if the commissioners do so, see it as a good timeline, I think they should move forward.
They have to move forward because once the session goes out and the elections come, there'll be all new people there, and you never know what's going to go on there. So these people have now voted on something like this, so it behooves us to get it done within this coming session before.
I think we're moving in the right direction. Let's just keep it at all due speed. Okay. The big one, and the last one on the list here, infrastructure / long-term funding for the town, which will go for several years. We've had discussions about amending the beach tax and increasing it by 20% and dedicating that funding to either infrastructure or Bayside, however you want to give the naming of that effort. I think that can be done within the existing auspices of the current regulations and code, and so I think that's one that's an easy one for us to cut our teeth on beginning in the next fiscal year.
What if it's increased by 20%, what's the increased dollars attempted?
I don't know off the top of my head. What do we get a year from?
$39,000 in general.
$39,000? Okay.
Well, you get $195,000 from the beach tax, and you get 20% more, it's $39,000.
Okay. Thank you, calculator.
Pi R squared.
Well, I think it's
important
to know.
Yeah. Sure. It's a start. It's not the do-all and end-all, but it can be done without going to Dover, and it can be done under the existing rules and regs that we have. And it also is not going to break the bank for anyone. I think I pay $32 a year. I think I could probably afford 36. Would that be, Gary?
Okay.
Okay. Second is infrastructure tax, comparable in size to the beach tax, dedicated solely to infrastructure. I think it has to be part of the message, is it's solely focused on that. And as we all know, there's lots of infrastructure work that needs to take place in town. But we've been talking about that for a long time, and there's various projects. Can anyone from the council offer any kind of guidance in terms of, is the infrastructure committee working on a long-term plan for all the different things that need to be done along those lines? Scott, do you know anything about that?
I would say the answer at this point is no, there's not a long-term capital plan that's been developed. Unfortunately, I think those numbers would get slightly overwhelming if they were rolled out that way, and probably cause a lot of controversy. But the expectation, I think, is as we get, as we begin developing the next budget cycle, we had talked about developing capital project requests, both for vehicles, a vehicle replacement schedule, and also beginning to try to, one, identify how much infrastructure we have that we own, or how much infrastructure that we're responsible for that we may not own. And so there's a couple of pilot projects out there, the videoing and inventorying of the storm sewer infrastructure that the commissioners approved a couple months ago is underway. And then ideally what would happen, at least in my mind, I think our auditors are going to push us also to develop these infrastructure schedules so that we have a feeling or some point where we get to a template that says, you know, we actually own X number of feet of pipe, and we should be thinking about the replacement of that pipe, and the estimated cost of replacement is X dollars. So that's what I expect to happen, but it's going to take several budget cycles to get to that as we build the capital plan. Mm-hmm. And really, like we said, it's one of these, it's kind of uncharted water in the sense that we're going to develop these schedules, in some cases without funding, and then we're going to figure out how we're going to fund these things.
Yep.
Instead of, in some cases, I don't know that you would want to say we're going to fund it first and then develop the schedule. So I think we've got some work to do.
Well, no doubt there, but while I agree with you that if you were to do a comprehensive review and integrated plan about all the different things you'd have to do to encompass infrastructure, you would probably blow somebody's socks off with the numbers you're looking at. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think people need a reality check on what's really going on and what's going to be needed to bring the town into the future. And so I think it's a positive thing, and I would encourage, and I'll, as part of the recommendations that we will make today to council, I think we should make a recommendation that they charter the infrastructure committee to develop such a plan and get something that approximates a real picture of what the future needs are.
I also think it doesn't hurt to start saving the money.
Yeah, well, that's my goal. Right, it's
so
going to be a...
Stop whatever you're
doing.
Right. One of the things with the beach tax that exists is that, like you said, you just pay $32,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
The value of a home could be $2 million and we're paying mm-hmm. pennies on that. So I think if we're going to do an infrastructure tax, which I think we should, mm-hmm. to realign the assessment value too, you get a lot more than your 20% mm-hmm. increase. And also start out with a stronger base in infrastructure.
Right. I think that's a very good point. I'm jogging it down. And I won't lose this one, I promise. Assessment values. All right. Infrastructure tax. Any other questions or comments
on
that?
Can we change the title to infrastructure improvement tax or replacement tax? Or the infrastructure tax can be get people wrong.
Improvement, remediation, upgrades.
Support. Infrastructure support.
Long-term support, long-term viability.
Infrastructure/capital improvements?
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Yeah.
/capital improvements.
Sounds like we're putting the tax on.
Very good. Well, the word tax is a dead giveaway. Okay, and finally, the one that everybody loves, and I'm surprised nobody's running with this on their platform, the property tax. Which nobody likes and everybody pushes back, especially those who wish to get reelected at any point in time. But has to be part of a long-term strategy for the town. Every other place does, except for one other locality, right? So it's got to be on the list. And I'll probably take a hit somewhere along the line on recommending, although I'm just putting it on the list because I think it's important that we not lose sight of the fact that it could be a significant new revenue stream for the town. And we're going to need tens of millions of dollars in the coming years. And I keep saying that, and people think I'm crazy, but it only takes one major storm.
I think what you need to do is implement some programs. There's probably too many and not having them executed properly.
Yeah, and it's a time-wise thing. It's going to take a long time for people to come around, but people came around to the accommodations tax, and it made it through. So, property tax should be on the roadmap somewhere. And some future council will be willing to take it up and wrestle it to the ground and deal with the political consequences. But I don't think anyone disagrees
that it's a good idea. No one just wants to pay it. And you won't have to pay it until this fiscal year when you buy property.
Thank you. So I'm going to assume that for the infrastructure improvement projects, that there are state and federal funds for these kind of projects.
Or loans, low interest loans.
I think it depends on which type of thing you're talking about. So, for example, if you considered streetlights in the infrastructure, the power company actually puts the lights in, and then we pay a monthly bill for the lights. So there's not an out-of-pocket expense in that sense, but there's a monthly bill that comes with it. If you're talking about repaving of a street, in some cases, it's a state right-of-way, so the State Department of Transportation may kick in some money. There are community transportation funds that the legislators may be able to kick in, and the town can kick in money. As far as like stormwater replacement pipe and stuff like that, there is the surface water grants from the state. There are 2% loans, typically. That's the same fund that we use for the Baird Avenue pump station. And they may have anywhere from a 10-year to a 25-year payback period, but most of the money that's taken through that is at about 2%. There are very few, to my knowledge, direct federal grants. And if there are direct federal grants, there's usually a matching requirement. So you're either matching time or cash or things like that. The infrastructure projects, for example, that we're partnering with the Center for Inland Bays with, they have been able to get some, it's actually state money that trickled down through the federal government through different programs. If we move forward with the Shoreline, if I get the name of the project right, the Shoreline Enhancement Project related to Sunset Park. Related to Sunset Park, it's likely that there will be state funds. We may have to match some small funds, but then there's actually some type of a forgiveness equation in that. If we go all the way through the project and get to construction and complete the construction, then there's some language that allows the principal to be forgiven. And so there are programs like that. They're not, they don't, every project doesn't qualify for those. But I don't think there are very few pure federal grants out there now. There most of it is loan money through state revolving funds and stuff.
One more question for TJ. The lobbying group, are they in a position to lobby the federal government, the state government, to do some of these infrastructure enhancements in light of the number two revenue for the state?
Good question.
ACT has been reconstituted only for a few years. They're really now becoming a powerhouse in our county and in our state. So no, they're not there yet. But they hope to be, but realize inside of ACT, it would have to be something that all seven towns could benefit from. So today we were talking about beach replenishment, and as we looked around the room, we thought everybody benefited from beach replenishment, except Lewis. They do a little bit of it, but nowhere near the level that we do, or Hobart does, Bethany, South Bethany, or our friend McGotten does. So, everybody's pounding their fist on the table. We need to be beach replenishment number one, and I looked over at Lewis, and they're like, yeah, I guess we can go with that. But so, yes, they'll be helpful in that, and they'll help us build alliances so that we can do some of that, but we do need to begin to start to sock away some money, however we, by hook or by crook, to make sure that we are ready to have matching funds available for some of the loans that are available, some of the grants that are available, and all the programs that's got us on.
Of the multi-million dollar investment portfolio that the town of Dewey B. Jones, are some of those funds available for these projects and or to pay loan fees?
Only for beach replenishment. And there's
no,
the future.
The general fund.
Oh, there is money from the general fund there as well. So yes, I guess some of that could be part of this.
And by the way, we did recommend, and we just haven't pushed it up to council yet. We voted a couple of council or meetings here ago that we would recommend 1 to 1.5 times the annual revenue budget as the surplus amount to be strove for, that we would build the surplus up to 1 to 1.5 times the annual town revenues. So it would all be contributory to that.
You once served on that committee as well, so you have insight and knowledge about investing and all that more than most of us in the room, so you could be very helpful when you buy that property again to help us oversee some of that stuff.
Well, I'd be happy to have your assistance.
Okay. Anything else? Good. All right. So we have a couple of amendments to this document. One is to, as Nancy suggested, to with the infrastructure tax based on realigned assessment values, and the change that Lynn suggested to make it infrastructure / capital improvements tax. Those are the two changes. So what I'd like to do is make a motion that we recommend to send this list with the amendments that I've just cited, send this to the council for them to consider as a fulfillment of our goal, which is on our committee goals, to identify, quantify, and recommend new revenue streams for the town. This will fulfill our obligation. Can I have a motion to that effect? Yep.
I'll go along with everything. You get down to property tax, you have a date on here, start mm-hmm. and target.
Mm-hmm.
What are we starting and what are we?
Well, some kind of effort. It's placed a year from next spring right. to begin the process of cultivating the process to add a property tax.
Okay.
So that's a fiscal year? 21.
Yep. For 21, April of 21.
And yeah. You have alluded to the fact that there's going to be, when we set Dewey Beach up and incorporated way back when,
mm-hmm.
no property tax. That was the one guiding thing that we said, and I don't know whether we have to honor that.
All we're doing is making a recommendation to the council. If you don't feel that a property tax is suitable and you don't wish to see anything like that enacted, you can certainly, you know, feel free to vote against that.
Okay.
But, you know, I think as a committee, we're making recommendations for long-term significant revenue streams for the town, and we would be remiss if we didn't include that, in my view.
And I agree. I just think least appealing, but should be part of a long-term strategy. And we have dates, and we don't really say what we're asking for here. Are we asking for a comparison to other towns? Are we asking for a small study
well,
for
when
feasibility?
When the project starts, that'll all be fleshed out, and just further discussions will take place around the size and magnitude of what that would mean. All we're suggesting is here's a timeline of the different revenue streams in approximate order and timing of when we think they could be addressed. Yes.
Okay.
That's all we're able to make is recommendations to council.
I think it helps the arguments for the other initiatives that are on that list.
Right.
You know, I think it puts it out there saying, if we have no other revenue source and the 1,600 homes need to come up with a $3.5 million budget to fund this city, well, everyone's going to have to come out of pocket $2,200. Do you want to do that, or do you want an accommodation tax put on the hotels? I mean, that's got to be part of the conversation.
Sure. Joe?
Is there a motion on the floor?
Not yet.
I thought you made a motion.
No, I can't.
He did make a motion, and I overruled.
I asked for a motion.
Yeah.
Because I can't make a motion.
So moved.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Question, please.
Yes. One more thing. Hold on. Don't go. The beer will be cold. Go ahead.
TJ, of the six other ACT members.
Yes.
How many of those towns have a property tax? Six out of seven.
Mm-hmm. Here's another interesting point. Only one has savings for future punishment.
I know this one.
Mr. Cotter.
No, there's only one town that has a beach retirement fund like we have, and they get their money for their beach retirement the same way we do over all these years.
Property tax on the beach.
They don't have one at all.
but they don't.
They don't use their own money for feature function, and neither do we.
Right, right.
So it's really smart and very forward thinking that this town once upon a time thought that they should have this little tax that's accumulated $4 million over the time.
4.7.
We don't have a real estate tax. We do have a beach tax. Those two things are different than every other town in the seven coastal towns. And they look at us a little funny because we have that kind of money in the bank too at the meeting. And they all should be doing this themselves. They will, because they're gonna need to. Because the days of the government putting up all the money for this program and the state matching it and us paying nothing, those days, this is the last one coming this fall. Now, there could be miraculous changes in our economy and the world that change all that. But so far, everything we're hearing is that this is the last one. We've got to be ready for that moving forward. You can walk on your whole foot.
You've been photobombed. All right, one more thing. Given that this is the last few days of August and we're unlikely to have a meeting before the election, and following that there will probably be new committees and committee heads named, I'd like to thank everyone who's participated this year in Budget and Finance. I think we can safely say we've accomplished the goals we set out to do. I'd like to personally thank Joe, who's the longest running non-voting member of any committee that I'm aware of.
He
made it a whole year without having to vote on anything.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I hope I've added some substance.
Well, next year you'll have to own a property so you can be a voting member of a committee. Thank you all. And with that, for this agenda, adjourned.
Dave, thank you very much.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Damn flies are bad.
They are. I noticed they were hanging around you a lot. $4.35, just about an hour. A little over
nice
an hour.
Meeting.
How's your water?
Very nicely done.
How's your flood down there, Phil?
Everybody's out of here.
Did you get my notes there? We're coming out of our
store.
When you put that thing out, the picture was saying that, and the tide was the extra high tide, and I replied to it. At that day, there was water coming out of our storm source.
Oh, they came out at all.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Phil,
hey,
let's play pool sometime.
Good work.
Good time. We'll do that.
All right. Yeah. You said it was high.
Thanks.